This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, what up? It's Meghan Trainor.
Yo, this is Justin Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande. Just the Interviews.
A Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
Hello, beautiful.
Are we starting? Oh, cool.
Yes. Hello, beautiful human. We got Dan here.
Hey.
And we welcome Austin of Water Parks.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey.
It's me.
So correct me if I'm wrong.
Everybody X's out of this right now. It was like, this guy.
Oh, man, this guy.
Average time spent viewing, 6 seconds.
Yo, do you have those stats or no?
Yeah, we do.
Yep.
Ooh, I don't know if I want to know. I want you to compare me with someone cool like Ariana.
Okay. I'll pray for you now.
Yeah. I saw on the board out there, everybody has these like amazing signatures. They're all huge and like art. Like Halsey draws herself. It's so sick. But then Ariana was just like, Ariana. So I was like, yo, that's powerful.
Yep.
By the way, like, you're right. There is power in a move like that.
Yeah.
But I want to just correct me if I'm wrong. Without the other two dudes here, you are still Water Parks. Do you consider yourself alone, Water Parks?
Oh, my God. Going with the deep questions already.
Just more interest.
They're here in spirit. Actually, right now, they were both online trying to get tickets to the Mike Hem reunion.
Don't get me started.
I'm really sorry. I know.
I didn't get him. I'm pissed.
They didn't either. So what we were going to do, we actually made an agreement yesterday. We're like, okay, here's what's up. Because we're going to be on tour when that happens.
Okay.
And we're like, we will cancel that show.
Shut up.
And fly back to LA. Yeah.
It's worth it.
It would be.
It's worth it.
That's the thing is like, that's okay. Mike Hem is the only band I've ever like painted my face for to go to a show.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I saw the Black Parade like back in the day. I was in maybe like ninth grade or whatever.
Yeah, 2006 it hit.
Something like that. Yeah. It was ninth grade then. Yeah. Oh my God, it was just the best. They played the Black Parade like in full. Then they went away and they came back out in like their like street clothes, like their normal clothes, and played Three Cheers.
But like, there's something.
Right?
Okay, there's a lot of moaning going on here.
We're all just like,
well-deserved moaning.
Oh, God.
But you have a tie to them.
Yeah.
Milky Way.
Yeah.
You should open for them.
Dude, I would love that so much.
Well, speak it into existence. Manifest it.
Here's the thing. It's tricky to do that on things like this, because if I go, we are opening for Mike Hem, then
no,
that's like
oh,
me.
Oh, no. You just manifested it.
Okay. Yeah, then we're going to open for My Chemical Romance.
Done.
And we're going to be the opener next year. We're going to open for them. And we're going to open for My Chemical Romance. We're going to open for My Chemical Romance.
Now the universe.
Tell me when to stop.
The universe is about to say, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be like, God, cut him off. Mute him.
Relax. I heard you the first
time.
So I think I just did rough math in my head. 2009, you were ninth grade. Or 2006,
oh, no. I shaved, so that means I'm 22 or whatever.
No,
right?
You're 26. 27?
27.
Did you graduate 2011?
10.
Oh.
Yeah.
1 year older than I, same age as Sanchez, and from Houston, Texas.
Yes.
But your band doesn't start until a year after high school.
Mm-hmm. I was 19, yeah.
Did you have many bands before Water Parks?
Dude, a lot. So many.
Failed attempts?
They're all real bad. But that didn't stop me from promoting them really hard, though. They all definitely kind of sucked. There was, like, It would come in waves. Like I would make something really like, wait, I'm sorry. Can I cuss in here?
You're fine.
Okay, cool. I'd make something that wasn't very good, and and then or it would be like a very simplistic thing. Except then, you know, I mean, you would let things get to you when you're like 15, when people are like, oh, it's just like power chords or you know whatever. Yeah. So then we'd make like complicated bands with like, you know, like way busier parts that were like way less fun, and then you would make like joke metal bands, and then you know what I mean? Like, so yeah. I went through like a whole bunch of different things. So, but then when I graduated and I was like in college and stuff, I was like, you know what, obviously, like there was never like a snap, like, and now I know I will play music. It was just like when I started playing guitar when I was like 13, I was just like, oh, okay, this is what I do. You know what I mean? It was just like a very natural flowing thing.
But how did you know water parks was something that was worth sticking with?
It was,
because the other ones came and went, you learn stuff, obviously.
Yeah, a lot.
Which, by the way, probably is one of the reasons why you were able to even maybe even stick with water parks.
Oh, it's true. Actually, like, now when I see, like, old pictures of me when I was, like, 14 or 15, I looked so goofy. I had, like, braces, and I was just, like, you know, just, like, some dumb, my hair was super long and weird. I was just, like, I wouldn't be here right now. Like, we wouldn't have, like, billboards around, like New York or LA or whatever if it wasn't for this, like, goofy-ass looking kid. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm trying to, like, accept him more and be, like, he did this.
Yeah, because that's you.
It totally is.
You did it.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'm going to look back at me and, like, 8 years or whatever and be like, you look like an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, you're wearing blue camo and like your hair looks like destroyed or whatever. But I do take good care of my hair, for the record. Which camera is it? Is it these ones?
Yep.
I take good care of my hair.
The hair is attached to the album cycles you're in. I feel like green and fandom go together.
Yeah, they do. I kind of change it every cycle depending on, like, you know, what I want the art to be or the mood to be or whatever.
But I have a very strong feeling that an album like Fandom, and I can't speak for the other albums because I haven't listened as in depth.
That's okay. Wait, you heard the others?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy to me.
You're going to come here and give us time. What am I going to freaking be?
I don't know.
Just be a brick?
Okay, here's the thing. I'm also used to interviews where we walk in and they're like, cool, so you're water parks. I'm like, right.
You got that one right.
So far, so good.
Well, you did one of my favorite records. You did a whole song on it, right? Where you were just questioning all of these questions. Was it?
I miss having sex, but at least I don't
want to die anymore.
Yeah.
And my first listen to that song, I was like, oh, he's talking about like shitty interviews, talking about your names. But the reality is, what I took away from it was the mental anguish and pain you go through with hooking up with somebody.
There's also that. It was about someone that I had dated for a while, and it kind of didn't end very well. And like when I'd be on tour and everything, I'd always be super anxious. And it's I'm sure it's partially because of me, but I also just I didn't have a lot of reasons to trust that person, but I still kind of stuck with it. And so when I had kind of broke it off, that was just like such a strong feeling I had. Like, it took a minute to like articulate, but when I had the thought, I was just kind of like, huh, that's kind of funny. And I was just like, well, that whole sentence is now, I was like, that should be a chorus. And I have the voice memo of it. I listened to it the other day, and it's really funny because like the voice memo version is like way faster. So I'm like, oh, it sounds spazzy. Like, Jesus Christ. But, yeah.
How do you figure out to slow it down?
Let me think. Oh, right. So I had that voice memo version of it. And then I was like, okay, I want to show this, but it was one of the only songs that I hadn't made a home demo of. Cause we just hadn't been around enough. Cause I make demos of like all our songs
at your house.
Yeah. So that one, I hadn't made one. And then I was like, give me a second. Cause I didn't want to just show, the producer at the time. I didn't want to just be like, this sounds insane, but we could make it better. You know what I mean?
Here's a voice memo.
So I was like, hang on. And I went in the other room and I made like a slower version of it that just like felt better. Oh, and wow. I was just like, there it is.
So I miss having sex, but at least I don't want to die anymore. That comes from you miss this person, but they are mentally killing you.
Yeah, you want to,
but whatever.
Like a big point of this album was kind of addressing things that I feel like a lot of bands either don't talk about or can't talk about without getting a lot of flack, because it seems like, or like, okay, I overthink everything in the whole world. And it's one thing that I've kind of noticed about bands and like, you know, like rock culture and stuff like that. It's almost kind of taboo to talk about anything except for like emotions. You know what I mean? Like I've seen bands, you know, talk about like, you know, a bunch of things, or even like if they talk about like the physical sides of things or whatever, like let's say that for example, just because of this, and they get so much it comes, like, I mean, granted, I feel like a lot of people don't know how to really, like, navigate that kind of subject matter because, again, since it's not talked about, it is trickier. But there's, like, nuance, and it's almost like it's very naive to pretend that everything, like, that's not a thing because, like, you can miss everything about a person. You know what I mean? And if I make 50 songs, which I have, about, like, missing everything about this person and blah, 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 it's like, why can't I also talk about that? You know what I mean?
So are you saying that rock is the only pop rock, whatever it is? Because I don't want to put you in a genre box.
Yeah, dude. Oh, I appreciate that.
At least I want to understand what your box looks like.
I'll tell you. Oh, do you? But I'll show you my box, boy. What's good? Turn off those cameras.
Hey, now.
I'll turn the cat around.
Cover her
eyes. You hadn't got enough.
Zach Sang Show.
Yo, beautiful human. If you're considering going back to school, you really should ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits that you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of those questions, Arizona State University really is the perfect school for you. ASU offers over 200 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You're going to earn the same degree that you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. If this is of any interest to you, seriously, text Zach, Z-A-C-H, to 35517. You'll get more information. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 87% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. Learn more right now about ASU online degree programs. Just text Zach to 35517. That is Z-A-C-H to 35517.
Zach Sang Show.
But are you saying that other genres can discuss these topics,
yeah,
but rock cannot?
My guy, check this. So many awesome-ass pop songs. And the thing is, I'm a huge fan of, like, hip-hop and pop and, like, all this stuff. But they're able to touch on so many things that bands can't do. And, like, the thing is, that's not the band's fault. It's definitely the culture around it. It's the fans.
Do you think that culture perpetuates this sad feeling? Because I heard you in an interview say that, like, all these bands are allowed to talk about are emotions and sadness. And then that makes me sad.
Dude, it did. And it made me, like, way more self-pitying in, like, high school and, like, even afterwards and stuff. Like, because when you when that's all you take in, it's kind of like, in a way that's like you're kind of in a way being taught that's what you're like,
yeah,
how you're
to be sad
to feel.
That's all you know,
yeah, and it sucks, it's stupid, it's a very, like, I hate this word now because it's been totally, like, co-opted by the internet, but it's very toxic.
So what songs off this album are not talking about your emotions?
Well, they're all talking about emotions, but as far as ones that aren't, like, breakup related,
sad,
like Watch What Happens Next, Dream Boy, Telephone's not sad. It's got, like, dark undertones, but it's, because I can tell you about that in a minute. But
oh, we'll get into
War
that.
Crimes. Some of I Miss Having Sex, but at least I Don't Want to Die Anymore. Like the verses. Because the thing is, one thing, like, that I, like, with songs like that one and, like, War Crimes and stuff, I had so many more verses prepared and, like, other things I wanted to say. But I also, like, I like love pop so much. It's just like, my heart is for that, so I just don't have it really in me. Or, like,
well, you want to keep the format.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, like, the thing is, there are definitely, like, unique structures, especially with War Crimes. That song is weird. but I didn't want to drop, like, a 6 or 7 minute song of me just, like, you know what? I wanted to, like, pick certain things and be like, right now we're going to talk about this and this and this and this.
You're going to keep it focused.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, your entire album is 38 minutes across 15 records.
Yeah.
Is that strategy?
What do you mean?
I mean, some people decide to make a really short album so you can listen to all of it. Some people choose to have records that are under 3 minutes so radio can play it.
See, I don't do that. Actually, when Dream Boy started getting played on stuff, we had to cut the intro and just have it start with, doom, doom, you know, like the drumming. Because there's like 15 seconds of me just being like, hey, like that
just
kind of thing.
Feeling yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, this is tight. And I love the little bits. But yeah, we did have to cut it for that. So, I mean, if we were really trying to, like, plan for that, we probably wouldn't have intros that are, like, 15, 20 seconds. but making clean versions is very fun. We did do that.
It's kind of a bitch, right? Because to make a clean version, you have to go back, you have to fix the stems. And then,
here's
like,
the thing, though. I made sure where I live is like 3 minutes from the studio and the offices and everything. I go there every day. I bug my managers constantly, and I always go in there like, hey, so I got this idea, blah, and they're like, ah, okay, cool, let's do that. And so that's where we've made all our albums, is that studio.
Where? In Texas? Here?
No, here. I live in North Hollywood right now. Actually, I just got a new place, and it's crazy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Dude, it's so much, it's like way too nice for me. It's weird.
But that's how you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you know, but you know.
You know the music's working.
See, that's the thing is, tangible signs of success are very cool because there are so many things in this kind of like world or whatever where it's like, hey, this is a thing that happened and it's really cool. And like nothing really changes for you, or like you don't like, it's more so like being told a figure or like being given some information. You're like, cool, but like you don't see it. That's why things like magazine covers or like getting a place or like finally getting a car that's not 20 years old or whatever, that's like, you know, making weird noises. Like that's why things like that are nice, because it's like signs of success that you can like
tangible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You can feel it. It's not just like, oh, there's a million people listening to your music right now, or this many radio stations.
Yeah.
But you are proud of your success. When I was watching an interview that you did, you introduced yourself as the platinum selling band Water Parks. Not gonna lie, dude. Haven't heard of you're not platinum selling? Okay, manifest. I was gonna say I haven't heard of band.
Gold selling? Are you kidding me? Hey, buy our album. Dude, I want a plaque so bad. You have no idea.
I haven't heard an artist do that in years. Hi, I'm platinum selling whatever.
Oh, when we go platinum, I'm going to start introducing us as diamond. Like, what's after diamond? Is it like titanium? Has anyone ever been a titanium selling artist?
I think you can go more than one diamond.
Like a plasma selling artist?
It's just like a plaque filled with plasma that's so moving. Wow, I mean, hey, manifest this shit, dude. When I said manifest it before, I didn't know you were actively manifesting things.
Dude, the law of attraction's real.
I agree with that.
Constantly.
You were also tweeting about winning a Grammy for Phantom the other day, weren't you?
Oh, I said Phantom needs a Grammy.
Mm-hmm. Put that one out there as well.
I'm pushing it, dude. Actually, we were supposed to have a meeting with the Grammy people like last year, but there was like a bad storm, and so it got canceled. I was like...
And a whole year later, they haven't rescheduled?
They're like, yeah, it's the tornado. I'm like, oh, that really sucks.
There's a tornado hitting downtown Los Angeles for the first time ever.
Right.
We can't meet with you.
Well, no, see, it was in Houston, though, so that's why it's believable, because we have storms like once a week.
Oh, yeah, that's very real.
Tornadoes like once a month.
Well, do you go back to Houston often?
Here and there, like when my mom gets mad that I haven't been back in a while, I do. Actually, this next tour, the Phantom Tour, it's going to end in Houston, and that's on December 23rd.
Ooh.
And so I'm going to go home for Christmas. And
special.
I might come back out here for New Year's.
Why not?
You even invited me to your party.
Oh. Speaking to existence, and I'm going to host anything. It's probably not going to happen.
Zach Sang!
I'm going to host a
party. New Year's Eve party!
Dude.
We're all going to go, and we're all going to find love.
I wish. We'll hop into love in a second. Can we get back to Dream Boy here?
Yes.
How do you think your fans see you?
It depends.
Right now, how do you think they see you?
Online, they are so mean to me, and in person, they are so soft.
Why are they mean to you online?
Because I think I put a lot of myself out there, and when you do that, people feel like they're closer to you, and when they feel like they're closer to you, they treat you more like a friend, and friends f- with each other.
I totally understand that, and it is true. And that's almost like a compliment more than an insult.
Yeah, except the thing is, there are some days where I wake up and I don't want to be called a crackhead all day.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I'm like in a bad mood and I go on there and they're like, dumbass, I'm just like, okay, I'm not doing this right now.
I get it.
But then occasionally, okay, so I'll see those. And then if I ever look at my messages, it's very rare. It's when I'm bored. If I ever go look at like DMs or like DM requests or whatever, it's just straight up just paragraphs of like the nicest stuff I've ever read. But I don't believe any of that either.
Why?
Because you can't. Here's the thing. As nice as it is, you can't put stock in any of that.
What do you put stock in then?
Not much.
I mean, you need to.
I put it in me. I put it in the album. I put it in some of my friends. I put it in our managers. Cause yeah, if you don't put stock in anything, you're just going to feel way too empty. But the thing is, if you put stock in people online, it's not real. There was a quote, I know I've quoted this before and I wish I could remember who said it, but it's like, you're not as good as people say you are, but you're also not as bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's
totally.
Kind of like,
it's accurate.
And people, the thing is, especially right now, things in the world are just so volatile and like unpredictable. People get mad over like dumb shit constantly. And the thing is, when you put too much stock in like the good and it becomes like the norm for you, when everybody inevitably flips on you, yeah. And they're mad at you for like that week, and everyone's just like, wow, like you've really changed, like you really let me down, like you, I used to think this and now you're, well, like they go off like that, you're just like, oh my, like it feels terrible.
It's hard to take.
And like I already feel things like way too much, I think. Like if something's good, I'm like, ah, sh-. But if something's bad, I'm like, oh, I should die right now. Like, you know what I mean? And so I've kind of learned over the years to sort of detach, if that makes sense.
I totally understand it.
Like, it's not necessarily, like, the best or the coolest thing, but it's probably the healthiest.
How do you gauge, outside of houses and numbers, how do you gauge and take a measure of if your music is working or having impact, if your stories are bringing enjoyment and connection and escape to people?
That's tough. Because I don't necessarily write for people. I kind of write in like a selfish way. It's very specific to me.
But that's the way, I don't want to inject my opinion, but that's the way it should be, right?
Well, yeah, because the thing is, I feel like when people write albums that are for other people, they wind up being these very broad, vague things, just trying to like sweep everything just for like, well, if we keep it vague, it'll be relatable. It's or like it'll be more likely that they can like apply it to themselves. And I just think like when I feel like when art isn't specific, it's just so boring.
I agree.
Like that goes for anything, like movies, books, like any of it, like any kind of art you can make, or like paintings even. Like when things are specific, they're just better.
I believe in this case,
specificity.
Yes. How specific and how detailed you are in the lyrics, to me, take on a whole new meaning than it means for you, right? Like, I miss having sex, but at least I don't want to die anymore. Means something totally different to me than it clearly meant to you.
And it's really weird that it works that way. Like, you can go, like, that song, so it was just like a deep cut. It wasn't going to be a single or anything. I almost didn't even put it on the set list for the tour.
Who forced you to put it on the album?
TikTok.
Thank you, TikTok.
It's so like the
Wait,
thing
you're
is
talking
the label,
about a clock, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about the breath mints. The label hit me up and was like, "Hey, so TikTok or like TikTok got a hold of Miss Having Sex, but at least I don't want to die anymore." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." And then I just like left it at that. And then the next day, it was number 3 out of everything on our Spotify.
Love it.
And I was like, "What? Why?" And then the next day, it was number 1. I was like, this is stupid. TikTok is deciding, like, our songs. Damn it. It's a good thing.
Is it stupid because TikTok is picking, or is it stupid because you wanted another song to get this much attention?
I want High Definition. That's my favorite song in the world that I've ever written. And, no, but I mean, the thing is, I've always heard this is how it goes. They're like, no, like, you put it on, like, whatever, and you just see which one, like, pops off the most, and then that's the single. I'm like, that seems weird. You know, or like,
I get it.
I know I'm not supposed to shade them, but our last label was so stupid. And but they did this thing once where they I'm gonna get a call about this later. They posted a tweet one time where they're like, "What do you think the next water park single should be?" And they made like a Twitter poll. They're like, "What should we make a video for?" I was like, "How fucking dare you? Like, offer this up to the like as if." These fucking people have a choice in what I do with my art. Like, I felt so protective over it.
I get it.
And I was so, dude, I went off. It was rough.
And you're not with them anymore? Or are you still with them?
Mm-mm.
Gone.
Now we're with Hopeless. Shout out.
Woo!
They did so much better.
Yeah, well, they didn't, you know, put your music video and your art in the hands of the Twitter universe.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of stupid.
Uh-huh.
I understand on one
Is this
hand.
Me?
Yeah, it's yours. Whatever you need. There's also a fly moving around. Gosh,
is there?
Darn it, yeah.
I didn't even notice.
I see everything.
What's that timer for? What's it counting down to?
It's counting counting up.
Mm-mm.
We're
What's it counting up to?
Our future.
Yes!
I understand in some respect the logic of, you know, release an album and what song gets the most traction. Then you can build a case.
But it makes sense. I'm not – because the thing is I love all the songs. It's not like I'm sitting there like, I hate this song. Like, I love all of them.
Yeah, but if you have an idea and a feeling and a gut feeling, you got to trust your gut and your heart. And at the end of the day, it's yours forever. It's not anybody else's forever. Right. So that's a decision that should be on you. Your fans, I want to go back to Dream Boy for a second because I think it's a really...
I'm so sorry. We've tried to go back to that like three times.
No, I just find it so fascinating, man, because you're talking about something that I think a lot of artists understand, where your fans see you one way, but the reality is something different.
Yeah.
So how do you feed your audience while staying true to yourself?
I don't know. I don't know if there's an answer for that. Like, I just kind of do what I've been doing. I mean, I tweet weird things. I'm going to try not to burp. I'm going to burp.
Yo, you guys have crazy beanbags back there.
Thank you. You're allowed to burp.
I want one of those. I was thinking about getting one, actually. Sorry.
They're amazing. You can get it from your new house.
Yeah.
Which we'll invite ourselves to.
Yeah. Honestly, I'll have a New Year's party. It can just be us.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's cool. An interesting group. I don't know. I'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll see.
RSVP.
Yeah. No, okay, so... What was the question?
But by the way, it was... and I think this question could be applied to music, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've talked before about how people get upset when a band changes their sound from record to record or album to album, whatever.
Which is insane.
It is. So how do you give your fans what you want, but also stay true to what you want? And at the end of the day, like, maybe the fans just want who you are, which I think the true ones do.
See, I think that's kind of what's happening here. And that's why, okay, I have a theory that we could do almost any, or we can do close to anything sonically, not anything, but like most things genre-wise. And as long as what I'm saying is very authentic and very, very real, and you can tell, I feel like we'll be all right. Because like Turbulent sounds nothing like any of the older stuff, but it's like, it's what I wanted to make. It's, I was just like, this is, because I like dark music, I like pop music, I like fast stuff. I was like, that's all of those things, you know what I mean? It's got like the shiny ear candy, and I'm saying some really wild, specific stuff where it's like people follow me close enough, it's, or like our fans follow me close enough to where I feel like they can tell when things are authentic. And it's like, I mean, also, I feel like they trust that I would never put anything out that was inauthentic. And so I think that's one of the plus sides of them being like hyper focused on like me or what I'm doing or what I'm dealing with or going through or whatever, because then they're more invested when I'm like actually talking about it. Because I mean, I don't really get serious on the timeline too much, because that's not what Twitter is for.
No, it's... Music. I mean, music is the place to.
It's
really.
For saying like pee pee poo poo and like posting pictures of Jeff sleeping or whatever. You know what I mean? By the way, Jeff's our guitarist.
He looks great today.
Rest in peace, Jeff.
He looks hot.
Yeah.
Hey.
Not my best joke.
No. Do you have any more for your routine?
No, I don't think so. That's all I got for a day.
Encore. I love it.
What are you thinking?
Well, you brought up Turbulent. Mm-hmm. You name dropped yourself in that song.
Yeah.
Why?
You love yourself, and I love it.
Dude, I've been working on it. I'm really trying.
It's great.
Because when you don't, you start making the self-pitying stuff, and then it just kind of, like, repeats the cycle.
I understand. Yeah, because you manifest that.
Yeah,
because,
I mean, I had a lot more, like, self-pitying, like, kind of angry-ish songs or whatever in mind before this album, because I feel like if you've seen interviews, you probably know what I'm about to say, but we had another album kind of prepared. Before Fandom.
And then you scrapped it?
Yes. And that album had a lot more stuff where I was like, this is so self-pitying, and it's just so, like, angry about things that I don't even really feel angry about anymore, and it doesn't make sense to put it out because of, you know what I mean, because of that.
Why? What is the driving force behind it not making sense? Is it because it wasn't true to you in the moment?
Yeah. It was true in the moment. But I didn't want to be singing about, like, let's say getting cheated on. Oh. And like, say that happened in 2017. I don't want to be singing that in 2020. That's crazy. Especially like, I mean, I started going to therapy and stuff. Like, I'm doing a lot more things to, like, you know, better myself. I'm doing hot yoga.
Nice.
Yo, my legs are sore half the time.
Watch out.
Yeah, dude. I can jump better, probably. I haven't tried yet, but I will.
Let us know when you jump.
No, but, like, if I'm doing all these things to, like, you know, like, move past things and, like, better myself.
Shouldn't your music follow?
Right, exactly. Or it's, like, even if I've still got a lot of things, like, built up, or like a lot of things I want to say that aren't necessarily the most positive things, like I've got more I want to talk about besides that, you know what I mean? Like I don't want to look back in like 20 years and be like, man, I sure am glad I made another album for that person, you know what I mean? Like, that's stupid. And
why reward them?
Exactly.
Zach Sang Show.
Hey, beautiful human, real quick, I just want to shout out New Chapter. I am so grateful to them. They're helping make this interview possible. New Chapter is a vitamin supplement brand that supports every chapter in your wellness journey. You ready? New Chapter's natural products are formulated to work with your body, and they're made from the finest non-GMO and organic ingredients. They're easy to digest and grounded in proven science. This is not like bull squash. Discover wellness your way and build your custom regimen with supplements that actually work. New beginnings really are possible, and it can start with something as simple as New Chapter's incredible line of products. Find New Chapter at the Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, or at your local health food store, or online. Like, a part of trusted retailers, though. Like, not random places. Go to newchapter.com. You can go there for more information, or you can buy it at, like, VitaCost. VitaCost online. New Chapter vitamins at the Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, and your local health food store. Try it out. It could be for you.
Zach Sang Show.
Is it hard to convince everybody around you that you got to scrap an entire album and start from the beginning?
Surprisingly, no. Everybody was just like, they're like, okay, so initially I only talked to a couple people at management about it. And I was just like, hey, so this doesn't seem right. Like we were listening to it in the car, Jeff Otto and I, back in Houston when it was like kind of done. I mean, it was mixed but not mastered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But pretty much done. And I just, like, as we were listening to it, I didn't feel like I didn't feel this. You know what I mean? I was just kind of like, yeah, these are songs. Mm. And I was just like, that's not right. We can't do this. And when we left for a couple other tours and stuff, and it was one. It was in March. We left for that, and I started dealing with, like I said, I overthink a lot of things, and I went through another round of the internet hating me for a few weeks while we were out, and
what they hate you for?
It's always stupid. Like, I'm not, because the thing is, I make jokes, and I'm like annoying and stuff, but I'm really not out here doing like malicious stuff. They get angry over, they were super mad when. So I've had this like long running joke that I'm like in love with Victoria Justice.
Okay. Okay. Gosh, I could make 1,000 comments. I don't know
well,
who I feel.
Be careful what you say about her, because. Anyway, no.
Are you like the president of like her stan community?
I should be, but her stan community is part of the reason I got in trouble. So I would always make jokes. Like, I tweet in all caps, but I would only go lowercase for her, and I would just occasionally tweet her things like, I'm 6 foot, or like I'm really good with kids, or you know what I mean, just like whatever, or like I would give it all up for you, like, you know, just like stupid. And and then so there was a Victoria Justice like fan page kind of thing.
Okay.
And it posted like a rumor that we were dating.
Lucky you.
And I said, retweet. And then one of my friends made a hashtag, Austin and Victoria forever, retweet. And then everybody started doing it. And then it started trending at number 4 in the US next to all this like weird Senate stuff. There was a bunch of like political stuff going on too.
That's great.
And it was really funny. Like, I was laughing a bunch. And then, and the thing is, I didn't tag her. I didn't do anything. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're being cool.
I was just like, retweet. And I was like, ah. And and then it took one person to go, this straight white male is abusing his platform to harass a woman. I'm like, yo, it's not that deep at all. Like, I'm sorry.
But so then did you respond to that one person?
What did I? No, I think I let it chill for like a second, and then because that's what happens when local Twitter finds you. And they just like want to be like mad about it because it makes them, you know, they're like, oh, I was mad and now I'm good. Like,
you just gotta let them breathe sometimes.
Yeah. So I was like, everyone's like, delete it. And I was just like, okay. I posted a thing. I was like, yo, I was not trying to be like disrespectful or weird like that. It's just a joke. Sorry. I'll delete it. Chill. And, but they didn't like it because I was like, by the way, like, I respect this, but you guys are not superheroes for calling out a joke.
Yo.
And and then I deleted it. And then they were like, he deleted it. He's hiding from it. And I was just like, you told me to delete it. And then
you will never win that battle, my
friend.
No,
you can't. You can't win against the internet. No. It's just, you just have to wait for them to be mad at somebody else.
And know something. You will ultimately have the last laugh when you're the one walking down the aisle with Victoria Justice.
Mm-hmm. Ah! Speaking into existence.
That's right.
Have you met her yet?
No, I'm scared to, because
you should be.
Like, since I'm verified, I feel like she probably has seen things. She responded to me once on Instagram, that was really funny. When I posted it, everyone's just like, "Wow!" But now as we're getting like more popular, we're starting to get like more mutual friends, and I don't realize we're mutual. Like, we like have that person in common. And I'm like, oh no! Like, I don't like, because the thing is, I started doing this in like a couple years ago, you know what I mean? Like, and we were just playing like, you know, 300 or 400 cap rooms, and we're just like, yeah, I wasn't verified or anything. And then now, like, that we're actually like getting a little bigger, I'm like, oh God, I hope she doesn't actually like, you know, I've started leaving. I don't comment on things anymore. I don't say
in fear that she'll actually see it. But yeah. If she sees it, maybe she'll fall in love. She'll look into those blue eyes and she'll be like, wow, this is, that really just turned her on. She's in. She's so in. Yeah.
Is it this one or this one?
I'm going way back.
Wow, she's so down.
Oh, man.
Well, are you in love?
I don't know if Victoria Justice likes me anymore. Or I would make that introduction.
Did you make her mad?
No, we just have very deep history. Very long time I've known her. Yes.
You got beef.
No beef. Don't start that. I don't need that. I need
Zach Sang has beef with Victoria Justice.
No, that's odd.
Let's talk about it in the comments. Let's move it to Twitter.
Hashtag Vic and Zach beef. Vic and Zach real beef.
I could get that going pretty quick.
Thank you so much. Well, maybe then she'll come on the show. We have a lot to talk about. It's been many years since she's been on the show. How many years, Dan? Seven?
Yeah, probably. Damn. Yeah, about seven.
Yeah. She used to come on a lot.
I feel like she's going to have a comeback. Like music comeback. Because she's still been doing stuff.
You feel it?
Yeah. I think she's gonna.
If she goes, Austin, will you produce a record with me?
I would say no, but I will help you write it because I'm not that good at producing. I just make home demos.
Okay.
But I'll bring you to my friend and he's very good. Let's write some songs and then we'll go over there.
So you're actually in?
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh my God, yeah. Victoria's... Her music's tight as f***. Sorry.
Make it shine?
Huh? Yeah. I like, one day you'll be going. I love that song.
Wow. Hey,
you're a real fan.
I know that. I'm not messing around.
I know all those records. Did you watch Victorious?
I did, because before we were like touring and like, you know, anything at all, so what I would do to like not be totally broke was I used to babysit for this family every day, and then afterwards I would drive and go teach different people guitar lessons. I did, like, so I'd get there around like 3:30 or whatever, and then I'd be there till like 6 or 6:30, and then I'd usually have a lesson or two afterwards. And I would beat out Guitar Center competition because they were like $50 or whatever, and I was like 25 or 30 depending on how far they were.
What a deal!
Yeah, and I would go to you. You didn't have to just go sit in a waiting room or like, you could just go do whatever. You can cook something. You can watch TV. It's your life, dude. But so Victorious was always on TV at that house, and so I became familiar.
That's great. What do you learn about yourself from teaching kids guitar and babysitting kids?
Patience.
Patience that can kind of be used in many different aspects of life.
Yeah. I learned. Oh, out. I did that. By the way, I babysat for years and I only had one slip up with a cuss word.
Oh, congratulations.
Only
what
one
was it?
Out of years. It was the f- word.
Oh.
Did
the kid cry?
No. The thing is, by the end, he was like 12 or 13 or something, but his parents didn't trust him to like do his homework and stuff. And so I had to, I had to be there. And then, actually, oh yeah, but I think it was like a big spider, like jumped. It was some kind of bug. I know it was bug related. It's like the specifics are slipping. But I was like, oh, and I was just like,
yeah, but it's really cute to think that that kid didn't know the F word.
Well, there was a younger one too.
Oh.
There was the boy.
Jeez.
And then there was the girl. And she was like 4 years younger than him.
Polluting young minds. You know who doesn't curse in front of children? Victoria Justice.
And Lil Nas X, he's good at it too.
He doesn't curse in front of kids?
Uh-uh. I watched him do an interview with, to some, like, where he like answered kids' questions. He didn't cuss at all.
Wow.
Did you reference him in one of your songs?
Yes. Well, I referenced what he's able to do. That's the thing with Watch What Happens Next. back to music. I reference like what, like how he's able to literally make like a country thing as like a hip hop person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like such an accepted thing. But then if, and like even in the lyrics, I wanted it to be very clear. I was like, and that's fucking awesome. We could never do that. All the fans that like us need an easy fucking format. But
you do rap on the album.
I do. I mean, I
reboot.
Do, that's yeah. I like so many things, and I just think it's stupid that, or I think it would be dumb to only show like one dimension of yourself, especially like today. Like it's 2019, or I don't know, when does this come out? 2020?
No. 2019.
I mean, special effects take a long time, and you promised me like wings and
2027. Like, it's going to be huge then.
Cool. It'll be like next Avatar. but like I wanted to make it very clear that that was like an endorsement and not like me on that. Somehow, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there were still people that were like, ooh, Lil Nas, call out. And I was like, no, yeah. Idiot, it's a you call out.
You
like,
say, and that's fucking awesome.
Right after, yeah. Because, like, again, like I said, I wanted it to be, like, very clear that I think it's a great thing that other genres are able to, you know, expand in these kinds of ways. And it's not, like, looked down on. Because when bands...
Why is it plaguing only bands? Can you break this down for me?
I can, yeah. So there's, I think it comes from like a weird superiority thing where people that listen to bands feel like they're better than other people. Like, I mean, I feel like if we've all been online for, you know, a while, we've probably seen those memes where it's like a band next to like a hip hop person and it posts like some like poetic thing next to like, you know, whoever. And then it's like Nicki Minaj and it's like, you a stupid hoe or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, wow. You know, and it's like, shut up. Like you cherry pick the shit out of that example. It's like, I feel like it comes from that where it's like, they just think they're like so much better, like fans of rock think they're so much better than fans of other things because they're like, oh, but this is like meaningful, this yeah. is deeper, this is, and like
lyrical depth,
yeah. And the thing is, most of the time it's just like vague negative bullshit. Like they're not even saying anything, it's just like, it's like vague struggle fluff for the sake of like being relatable, and it's trash. Like
struggle fluff. I like that.
It's what it is. And like the thing is, I mean, you know, like, hey, some of those bands don't even write that. Like, and it's so dumb. Like, and I feel like that's one of the contributing factors. There's no such thing as a rapper selling out. You've definitely heard about a band selling out.
Yeah.
And it's like this weird thing where like you can't talk about your successes in that way. Like I was saying, you can barely even talk about like sex, and that's insane. You can't talk about money. You can't talk about like anything. And it's so weird. And it's like, I think it comes from like a jealous place because other bands don't want to see these things either. Like other bands don't want to see you, like everybody. It's a really weird thing. Like we've dealt with this too. Like when we came up, we had endorsements from like certain bands where they're like, yo, with this, like they tweet about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And as we got to be like their size or maybe even like a little bigger, they just go like radio silent, or they talk, or like, and
that's,
I hope you do well, but not better than me though,
always. But by the way, in all fields, most mm-hmm. fields yeah. and aspects of life, people mm-hmm. are just competitive assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And jealousy and envy is like,
but
real.
The thing is, I think winners know that. I'm about to sound like a self-help book, but I think most winners know that everybody can win.
Yeah.
I think when you accept that, like, you're able to kind of, like, let go of some of that pressure and some of that stress and just make cool. Because that's all you have to do. Like, it's not like people are like, I'm a fan of this band and only this band. Like, that's never how it works. That's insane.
But do you want to see somebody who doesn't have as much artistic integrity win?
I mean, that's not for me to judge. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, that's where we can like expand onto other genres and be like, yeah, there are certain rappers that literally don't even think. They just go into the booth and like
do it.
Say like the first thing that comes out, and they're like, and that's it. You know, and that's probably got more streams than we'll have all year, which is fine. Like, because the thing is, I'm not going to knock what people like. I'm not going to knock, you know, like what's in demand or whatever. I just like it's when people come at you in like such a weird negative way where they like feel like they want to like pull you, or it seems like they want to pull you down or whatever. That's when I'm like, hey, everyone can win. It's fine. And like, if you spend time being salty about other people winning, you're kind of a.
Mm-hmm. You should be focused on your own thing.
Yeah. It's like you could sit there being mad, or you can make something cool. You only have so much energy.
Go with the latter.
Mm-hmm.
Creative freedom. In
the headphones, does it sound weird when I drink?
Let's try it again.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh, was the throat part weird? Hang on.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Has no one ever done that?
We, you know what? Somebody you think you're half of made ASMR. Oh,
ew. Oh, wait.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Ew. Ew.
Zach saying ASMR.
Dude, somebody you consider yourself 50% of was making ASMR right behind you the other day. Pete Wentz.
Ooh.
You said.
Yo, Pete gave me this necklace.
Really? What is it?
It's like part of his like jewelry thing. Plug. Get it.
You got to put your hand behind it. That's what all the YouTubers do. So there's an autofocus. You focused?
Are you focused? I'm going to do some.
We don't believe you. I love this. You have a great lyric here. You say like you could have had Pete Wentz and Patrick Stump and won.
See, I've used them as an example because the person that's about, like, we both love Fall Out Boy very much. And, you know, we'd, like, listen and stuff. And it's, like, I wanted to make sure that came across as, like, someone who would write you songs, because, you know, Pete writes the lyrics, and sing them for you like Patrick does. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to come across, like, I don't want it to be, like, I'm better than them because I'm not.
No,
like,
but
Pete's, like,
both
my favorite
of them.
Lyricist. Huh?
But you're both of them.
In a way. And I'm, like, such a, like, massive fan of them. It's insane. But, that's like, I thought of that line. It was actually in a different demo first. It was worded differently, but, whenever I had the Turbulent instrumental, it's just like, oh, that's how it starts.
So hold on.
Oh, sorry. Yep. I go on tangents a lot.
No, the story of this record to me sounds like the lead up in the execution of a breakup. Is that what it is to you?
For as far as like conceptually, like what
yeah,
it
like
is?
Yeah, like what story inspired that? What type of events led up to that record?
To that song or the whole album?
Just the song.
So that song. So that was when we finished this. We opened for a band called One OK Rock. And that was the tour where I decided like I kind of didn't want to put out the album we had called, we were going to call it Friendly Reminder. And when we got back, that was the first song that we wound up making for Fandom. And so what happened was I went into the studio and I was like, I don't want to focus on breakup stuff, like especially like, you know, these ones that are like, ah, pity me or whatever. And our producer, Zach Cervini, by the way, he's the man. Shout out, Zach. Actually, we hung out last night for Halloween. We just like watch movies and stuff because neither of us like going out and doing things.
That's really cute.
Yeah, yeah. I was third wheel though because Lucy, his girlfriend, was there too.
Oh, that's great. I'm sure they love spending their Halloween with you.
Oh, yeah. Because I was like, neither of us had plans or anything. And I was like, what are you doing like for Halloween? He was like, I don't know. Because like both of us have just been like so like I've been doing so much production and stuff for the tour. Like it's been like hyper focused on that. And he's been like mixing stuff. And we're both just like, oh, we're not doing anything. I was like, okay, well, do you want to just like watch scary and like get food? And yeah. And he was like, okay, cool. So that's what we did. But wait, what was the question? Oh my God. Oh yeah. So I'm so sorry. Yeah. So I went into the studio. We'd probably been back for like, I think it was like the night after we got back.
Okay.
And I was like, I want to make a song. Like I had like the instrumental kind of in my head. And so I went over there and he was like, by the way, I'm going to have to get like a little specific for part of this. Okay, whatever, it's fine.
Go.
So the person it's about, one of the things that was like a problem was like on their end was alcohol. And like, I mean, like I said in the song, because again, everything I write's very specific and very, very real. And so I still get, you know, like messages from this person. I feel bad, like, you know, like airing all this out there, but
do they know it's about them?
They have to. I mean, actually, I think they do. Yeah. Cause they hit me up saying they listened to the album actually like pretty recently.
And did they bring up the record?
Oh, they were just like, I love it. I was like, my producer was like, by the way, I saw her like at a bar, like the other night. And this is before I didn't mention, like, cause I don't like bring up the messages and stuff like that. But, I was like, really? Cause, you know, I was like, cause I just got a message being like from them being like, you know, like, I'm done drinking and blah, blah. I got re-angry.
I get it.
And so I was just like, all right, I got some things I want to say. And it was just like, turbulent. It was super, super angry. But I wanted to make sure it wasn't angry in the way that it's like self-pitying. Like, I know I keep using that word or phrase or whatever. But I wanted it to come across as more of like I don't need this. Like, I'm tight as shit, and I don't need this. You know what I mean? Like. Like, so fuck you, fuck this, like, dude, I kind of just, like, went off. And then, like, the thing is, when we had that song, that's, like, after it, like, because I wrote all the, like, lyrics for it in, like 10, 15 minutes. Like, I just, like, had the instrumental just, like, looped. And I was like, okay, I got it. And went in and sang it. And as, like, we were, like, kind of, like, tightening things up and, like, editing, like, he was just, like, playing it. And, like, while I was writing the words, while I was listening to it, I was just like, oh, my God. And I was, like, jumping and shit. I was just like, this is how the album's supposed to be. Like, this is – that was, like, the feeling that, like, I wanted to feel from it. Like,
so that lays the path forward.
Yeah. And so then the next one from there was Watch What Happens Next.
Cool.
And then I had, like, an idea of Dream Boy, but we, like, reapproached all the production. I, like, changed some stuff. And we did that. And then – as we were finishing that song, it was like maybe midnight that night, and it was like about to wrap up, and I was playing some chords like on guitars, like some clean tone, really pretty sounding stuff. And I was like, hey, can I like lay these down just so I can like write over it later? And he's like, sure. Laid them down. And I was like, wait, I got a couple more. And I played a few others. And then like 2 hours later, High Definition was done. Yeah.
And High Definition is a song that you consider the greatest song you've ever written.
And anyone's ever written.
You're
if no one knows me, like, and they're watching this, like, if it's just like one of your subscribers, they're gonna be like, he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's a cocky.
Yeah, but it, like,
I love it.
I damn it.
It's he's not really this way. He's a humble person who's just proud of his art and his
now
success.
He's not. Fuck him.
But that was that the last song written for Fandom?
Mm-hmm. And the there were other things in between, and then. There were certain songs that made it from the album that we had kind of like, you know, gotten rid of.
From the first one.
Yeah. But the thing is, I was like, I need to like rewrite parts and I need to reapproach all the production because there were certain things where like when parts hit, I just didn't feel it. I was just kind of like, okay. And then now, like for example, like I Felt Younger When We Met. That's how I wanted to end the other album as well with that song. And because that's like a breakup-y one too. You know what I mean? That one was written... I think at the very top of 2018 it may have been the end of 2017.
So why'd you bring it back?
I thought it was just like such a cool song. And like the concept, like I still maintain part of the concept of like grief, like grieving, you know, what that relationship was, grieving, like what I, you know, like the, like, okay. When I have like goals, I go 10,000% at it. And so when I have like an idea of what I think something's going to be or like, you know, an idea of what something's going to be in the future, I just go head first into it. You know what I mean?
I get it.
And so when that kind of falls through, like you're not only grieving like that person, but you're also, it's like what you like
what your you idea dreamed of. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Gave so much mental energy and thought to it.
Yeah. And so, like I said, like I started going to therapy and everything and I learned, cause I didn't consider it grieving or anything until my therapist brought it up and they're like, that's definitely what's happening right now. And the thing is, grief looks like this. They had like a paper and it was very like loopy and like very like squiggly and whatever. And that's what gave me the idea to loop the album because it's like when something is done, you're not just, it's not like a straight line where you're like, and I do this and this and this and now I'm good. It's like you, like things reset constantly. And it's like, I wanted there to be like a sonic representation of that on the album.
So are the only two songs that connect sonically the first and the last? Or they
no,
all
I made a lot of transitions actually.
They're all I know that there's like things like group chat. Like why is something like that vital to the album?
I wanted to do group chat because the thing is I wanted to make like my favorite movies make you feel different things. Like I love the It remake, you know, the first one where it's like it's like a horror movie, but it makes you laugh and it makes you like it feels like kind of triumphant in a way. Like it's got like drama in it, but it's like, it, you know, it's got so much. And it's like, I wanted to make an album that wasn't just like full on dark. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I also thought it was like kind of a funny commentary because, you know, everybody in fandoms, there's like a million group chats or we always get asked to like go say hey in people's group chats of things. You know what I mean? And I thought it was kind of funny to like make our own and it's just like us three in it.
Just introducing yourselves too. It's a great moment.
And then also I kind of wanted to like, I mean, I put the effect on me. One, I mean, I thought it was funny, but, and people also like call me a demon and like constantly, but, but I also kind of wanted to put it on there as like a kind of like showing where like I was or like where, you know, like I am or whatever, like mentally where it's kind of like, where it's like, my name's Otto and mine is Jeff. And it's just like a up version of me being like my name's Austin but like it's like and because I wanted to show like even on like funny things it's still like a present thing of like dark or like you know not doing well
you got problems
and so it's like I thought it was funny but it serves a purpose it's not just like you know
so the sonic connection of this album is all because of this grief truck.
Yeah that's like one, like, I mean, like I said, it's like conceptually what I wanted it to be around because it's hard to like hyper focus in on one thing and be like, this is a breakup album because it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's got, so, it's literally, I wanted it to be representative of like, I wanted it to be like an overview of the last like year and a half. You know what I mean? Where like, because everything has changed for us. Like even look at this, how many lights and cameras are in here? We've never done anything like this until like very recently. And like with all that growth, things change and like there's a lot of growing pains and it's hard to get used to. There's, like I said, even bands like people that you were friends with or whatever, like people like that turn, fans turn, like things like
your whole life change. Is different.
Like, yeah. And it's I wanted to just show like, I wanted there to be, you know, things, I didn't want to completely disregard like anything like breakup related because again, that's still like, I mean, I'm over that, but I still don't really like trust people that much. You know what I mean?
That is high definition.
Yeah, high definition is it's definitely like it sucks because like I want to word this right because I don't want the song to be misrepresented. It's like about being it's like having like a hard time now like where I am at this point getting close to people. You know what I mean? Because like I mean people weren't really interested in me before. You know what I mean?
They weren't?
No.
And now they are.
Huh?
But now they are.
Yes. And it's, I mean, well, they are. And it's just, it's a really strange thing because one, like we're gone all the time. We're gone most of the year. And it's like, I don't really, like, I mean, it's weird because it's like, and like, I hate like trying to like explain this part sounds very self-pitying and it's like dumb, but it's, I don't, I'm not like fishing for anything. It's literally just, it is what it is where it's like, if you want to be with that, I question your intentions because I wouldn't want to be with someone I don't get to see. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. And like, it's like, also, I mean, also I had, didn't have good experiences dating people while we were on tour. I was anxious most of the time. Like you'd be on the phone all the time. You didn't really get to like experience it as much, like what was happening or like register it.
You're just so focused on keeping that person who's thousands of miles away happy.
Yeah. Feel and like they're taking and care dude, of. Yeah. And at that time I was like broke as hell too. So I'd be like, you know, flowers are not cheap. Did you know that? like even the vases, I'm like, oh, it's a nice vase. I'll drop the extra 20 on that. And when you're broke, like, and you're sending out $60 flowers, like goes off.
That's food, bro.
Hmm? Oh, I know. So, I mean, it was just such a difficult thing, and it made so many cool moments. It took value away from a lot of cool moments. And I was just like, I don't think it's, like, time to, like, you know, be close to them. But at the same time, like, and this is going to sound like Drake problems, but, like, loneliness is very real. Like, you get, like it gets difficult. And so it's, like, it's hard to connect with people for multiple reasons, but there's also not really a solution because it's like, you don't want to be with someone because you like, because of, you know, everything I just said and because, you know, all the like trust stuff and everything, but then you also do, but you don't want to like lead anyone on or set them up because a lot of people don't understand the reality of what they'd be getting themselves into. They just don't get it because they've never done it. And it's like, I promise you this, like you, like maybe the idea sounds like nicer. It sounds doable or whatever, but the reality just sucks so bad. And right now I just, I like, this is my, like Jeff and Otto are my girlfriends. And I mean, I'm just like focused on all this, but anyway, sorry, I'm getting off track, but that's what the song is.
Like, I'm trying to, I get exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And the second verse is about me. I want to point that out.
I felt very similar feelings to everything you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, you're kind of holding yourself back, coming up with all these reasons why somebody should never, would never be interested in you outside of the fact that you're in a band or you tour or somebody who's interested in you, who's willing to kind of work their life around your you know, you question their intentions. Maybe they just give it, but you don't really know. I totally understand it. Yeah. So do you fear all of this getting to you and creating a distance between you and the actual reality that we all face together?
I don't fear it. I live it. Ah! No. no, but it's like, I just, I don't think I'm, like, say, because like, you never go into something thinking, like, this person's going to f*** my life up. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you don't go into it. But I'm like, I'm not prepared to risk that right now. It's like, dude, I'm like, I got better and I'm still like working on, you know, building up like me and myself and all this stuff. And it's like, I don't think it's smart to roll those dice.
Totally. I mean, you know, you better than anybody. Yeah. When you're ready.
Right. I feel like right now is not that time.
I mean, love is always going to be there. And who knows? Being single today could bring the true love of your life.
True.
To your doorstep. Do you hate fame? Because in high definition, it kind of sounded like that.
That's my bad. Here's the thing. I know I'm lucky. And the thing is, whenever I feel this way or feel that way, I remind myself, like, I did this on purpose. I tried. You know, like, I know it's cool to be like, yo, it just kind of happened. Oh, but like, like, no, not at all. And like, we tried. Like really hard. I quit college, freaked out my parents. And I mean, it's community college, but still. And it's, I know I'm lucky. And another thing is, I feel like when you're in this kind of position, it's weird to talk about this stuff because, like, it's so, like, no one's going to really get it. And so it's, like, not really a point in opening up about it. Or, like, no one, okay, people do get it, but it's not, like, it's not people that are watching this. It's, like Benji and Joel are managers. They understand everything completely. That's why I talk to them about most things.
Madden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Casual.
Love Good Charlotte.
Huh?
I said I love Good Charlotte.
So good.
Do you think they see something in you that they saw in themselves?
That's what they tell me a lot.
How does that make you feel?
Crazy. It feels really cool. I've heard that from like a lot of people, actually, like people that I like really love, or they like compare me to like other people that I love. And I'm like,
yeah, but does that not freak you out?
It does. But the thing is, and again, I know this isn't good, but like I take it in, but I don't think to its full extent. Why am I so burpy?
What did you eat before coming here?
Nothing. Maybe that's it. Actually, when I talk too much and I get excited, I like breathe a lot.
So you're burping out air?
Yeah. So if I'm like explaining full concepts and stuff, I'm gonna be like, and that's why we did this, and then bah. <You know? laughs> No, but like it's a really cool feeling, and it's very surreal to get like compared to people that you love by people that you love. And I don't know. It's kind of hard to like fully take it into it. I kind of don't want to either. I know, like, I get reminded, like, hey, you should look back and see all the like cool stuff you've already done because, like, you know, it's so fast paced and there's always so many things to do. And I also micromanage everything. Like,
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Both. I get exactly what I want, but I also am so tired and like don't really respond to texts very much now. And like there's always it comes with stress. It comes with like everything.
People hate you?
Huh?
Do people hate you on your team? Do they feel like, at first it's an adjustment when you micromanage somebody.
Management, I know Benji and Joel love it. I think I've had day-to-days before that have not loved it.
You guys hate me? Be honest, you're not on camera.
They said no. That's she's probably Hopeless lying. Doesn't hate us. She's like, not at all. No, but I'm very, very specific, and I feel like it's because I did all of our stuff for so long.
On your own.
Yeah, because like when no one's gonna work harder for you than you're going to. That's just the thing. Like even if they like love it and they're like super invested, like at the end of the day,
it's not theirs.
Yeah, or like if we tanked tomorrow, everything would change for me. I feel like everybody at like management and stuff, they'd be like super devastated, but at the end of the day, it's not their, like they still have more bands.
Dude,
to
they move
like
on.
Focus on. Huh?
They move on.
Yeah. And so it's like, no, like you have to care about you and you have to work harder for you than anybody else will. And that's why like, back in the day, also, we didn't really have that much money, right? We'd spend it all on like blank CDs so we could burn them and pass them out at shows or whatever. But I like learned how to like design merch and make flyers and like, you know, edit videos and do all this stuff. And so now I still do all those things because it's like, it's just on a much bigger scale.
How cool is that?
It's very cool.
Tiring though. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I very much understand what you just said. Doing it on your own and then getting to a point where like you can have other people do it. And
delegating's hard.
Dude, well, when you're a micromanager and you're very attached to what you do and it bears your name and your freaking essence and your everything, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I see a stupid piece of merch or like a shirt or whatever that gets suggested, I'm like upset because I'm so protective of everything that we do. And like I want it all to be exactly right. So when I feel like someone sent us like a stock image for a shirt, I'm like, I never want to see anything from them again. You know what I mean?
I get it. What do you learn from Billion and the Maddens?
Mm-hmm.
What do you learn from them? What have you learned from them?
Everything.
So far?
Like, dude, I would be like straight up. Okay, out of 10, I'm probably like a 4 on the mess scale.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, like the thing is,
I'm higher.
I have like crazy, like I think I've got like crazy ADD with everything, and I'm very just like, but it works because I'm like really productive with it. So I'll be working on a thing, and then I'll be like, I'll go work on another thing, and then I'll be like, oh, look over here, and then I'll be like, oh, I have this idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like without their advice, I would be at like a 9 at most times. Because like, I mean, like even with like therapists and stuff like that, I hate talking about like me or like, you know, the circumstances or whatever, as if it's like the most unique thing that no one could ever understand or whatever. But it's like, to a certain extent, even like therapists and stuff like that aren't going to get it. And Benji and Joel do.
Yeah, because they were there.
They've lived it.
Yeah.
And so that's like if I go to them with any problem, they're like, dude, I fully get it. Like I was feeling that same way at this time. Like you got it. Like, and then they'll like talk to me about it for like, you know, however long. And it's so like they really are like the best managers. It's crazy.
Because that's insightful. It's knowledge on another level.
Yeah.
Man, I got to be honest. You kind of blue balled me at the end of this album.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I was waiting for an epic scream and you just cut it off. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know you did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Dan loves
screams.
Well,
that's the thing is like at the end of something like that, I wanted it to feel incomplete because it's like with my, especially at that time, like my progress with things, like I didn't feel resolved, and so I wanted the album to reflect that. Like it's like with all these things, like even though, say, I mean, if say we put out Watch What Happens Next, it's not like I solved culture. You know what I mean? Like all this, like everything is still like me putting it out there helps in some way, because it's like if anything, it can at least make people think about it a little more, like anyone that like listens to us. It's not like I put out the song being like, this is going to change everything, because that's just not it. But I wanted the everything about the album to feel like I wanted to get the point across, but show that it's also not resolved, and then show, you know.
But it's connected. It's a loop.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's just like, that's how it feels. You know what I mean? It's like, because the album's done, but that doesn't mean I'm done living those things. And it doesn't mean those things are complete or solved. It's like, it's still like looping and it's still going on.
But maybe you tackle it with a different headspace.
Because... I mean, that's the thing. That's how you work out of it. You just get better at it each time. It's like, you learn. It's like that Happy Death Day movie where you get like a little better at like trying not to die and then you die anyway. But then you like kind of figure out, you're like, now I have to go around this corner instead. You have to like train your brain to like think differently.
It's dark. Learn from mistakes. Learn not to die.
Yeah.
Last question for me, I think.
Last one. This one better be good. Headliner question.
Oh, okay. I'll make a good. Yeah. Okay. So
you challenged him now.
You have a song called Telephone.
Yeah.
Beyonce and Lady Gaga have a song called Telephone. Whose song is better?
Between them or between all of us?
Okay. That's two-parter.
Okay. Lady Gaga. Sorry.
Better than all.
Oh, no. Better than Beyonce. Better than all. Let's see. I have to hype myself up because if I go, ours is best, it might make them more curious to go listen to.
You're right. So, Telephone.
Ours is best. That song's funny with the album because when you're like depressed or like when you have like these like very like extreme, like I said, like I like these very extreme like up and down feelings, you know what I mean? Like it's either like very stoked or like very, very low with these kinds of things. I wanted that to also be representative because if like, okay, so Telephone, it sounds like a very happy song. You know what I mean? Do you know what that's about or no?
I mean, I have my own interpretation, but no.
Oh, I promise it's different. So this was the top of 2018 when I wrote it. And the thing, what's funny is I tweeted about it and it got like a bunch of like likes. It had like 15,000 likes,
yeah,
or whatever.
You're talking about Lust at Target.
I saw a really pretty girl and I was just like, oh, she's so cute. But then I was like, so just like not feeling myself at all. And I was just like depressed and everything. I was like, there's no point. And I just like went home and just wrote an obsessive love song and it was like super nuts. And I was just like, the song's really good, but I wanted it to kind of count as like a, like when you're going through these kinds of things, you have like a lot of highs and lows and stuff like that. And it's like, I wanted that to be like one of the high moments and then drop out to like real sad. You know what I mean? Like, cause you go from that, like the actual next like song is Turbulent.
So it's connected in songs, not within one individual song.
Right.
I get
it's,
it.
It's like, I wanted the manic feelings to go back and forth. It's like high definition feel like you're like down here. You're just like very, it's like a very lonely song. Telephone. It's up here. It's so bubblegum and like,
and
I got like the brightest like 60s production sounding stuff I could find. I was like, we're going to get like some organs. We're going to go clean tone on the guitars. We're going to do this with the bass, like a little walkie thing. Like, and then you go into Turbulent and it's just like the, I mean, there's group chat in the middle, but as far as like actual songs go, like, it's like I wanted it to just feel super manic, you know? Because that's how I felt.
Vital to listen to this album top to bottom in order.
Yeah.
You have to.
You have to. Dude, I've worked really hard on the transitions.
So you say you're not a producer, but you have to have some sort of production ability inside of you because you just literally went into all the different instruments you wanted for Telephone. You obviously had focus when it came to connecting all the different songs. Mm. You are kind of a producer.
In a way. And then the thing is, like I said, I still record versions of like...
At your house.
Yeah. Like, actually, I'll show you what Telephone originally sounded like. Also, sorry for threatening you on Twitter.
Were you going to come at me with jousting stuff? I'm down to joust, bro.
If you got jousting stuff out back, we can do it.
What do you think? You think I just...
My last name's Knight. Let's go.
By the way, the spelling of your name, I didn't want to ask you anything that has to do with your f***ing name after listening to that song.
Yeah.
Your parents actually spell it that way, or was that you?
No. So when I was in like sixth grade, everyone started spelling it that way. Mm. Like all my like friends, and I was just like, and like even my parents like went with it and everything.
Cool.
I was writing it on all my school papers, and I just like it was always just like my name on everything. And so when I became like older, I was like, I've been this for like half my life, and it's how I be. It's like how I see myself, or like what, like who I am, or whatever. Like the other spelling just seemed so foreign that I just like legally changed it.
Wow.
My parents, though, they were going to, the choices were Thor.
Oh, okay.
Thor. Okay. By the way, my middle name's Constantine. That's
Thor
real.
Constantine.
Yeah. Thor Constantine Knight. Are you kidding me? Junior high would have f***ing killed me. Like, so it was either Thor, Austin, or Scott.
Oh, Austin.
How do you you go from Thor to Scott?
Yeah, that's,
are you kidding me? My parents are nuts.
Yeah, what do your parents do?
My dad's a nurse and my mom's a PE teacher.
Oh, wow. So they do real people jobs?
Real people jobs. No one works at Capitol.
They mold minds and they actually help people out.
Yeah, they don't play instruments, but they do jumping jacks and do surgery stuff.
Do you feel like you've proven yourself to your parents?
Yeah, now they're stoked. They were freaked out before.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
Do you remember the moment where they finally realized that this was something real?
I think they always had a feeling because I told them. Actually, my mom, a few months ago, she brought it up. I don't even remember this, but in like eighth grade, she was like talking about college. And I was just like, oh, I'm not going to do that. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm just going to play music. And I don't remember like saying that or anything, but she was just like, okay, yeah, we'll see. And
look at you now.
Yeah, mom. No, no, they're super supportive now. I know they were always supportive, but I know they were freaked when I stopped going to school. And actually, my dad, like, you know, occasionally they would, like, ask when I was going back and stuff like that. And that, I mean, that didn't feel good because...
It hurts.
Yeah, because you're like, I need this to, like, go well. Otherwise, they're not gonna, like, believe... Like, it sucks when people, like, especially, like, your parents, to feel like they might not really believe in you so much. But I know that wasn't it. They were just scared. Like, I would be, too.
That's it. My mom brought up, like, a year and a half ago, like, hey, have you thought about going back to get some college credits?
Like, you're like... Mom, look at this production. I have lights down here. My name is everywhere. Like, I got a little globe right there.
I have one room with my name plastered
everywhere.
You obviously don't get it.
Yeah, Mom.
Now she gets
and then
a
I'll be
too
back.
Much.
We'll get some more views. Like, I'll take my shirt off next time.
Is that like? Do you get a lot of likes? You take your shirt off?
I've never taken my shirt off. That's why it'd be like an exclusive.
Whoa. Those are the type of exclusives we're looking for, right,
yeah.
Dan?
Yeah, well, I want the phone, the telephone.
I'm so sorry.
Dan wants like I said, phone and then nudity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one.
Can you play this while you're naked?
I could.
That's a suggestion.
Naked is a lot. I was thinking just, we'll start with no shirt. Ali, you okay if he gets shirtless?
Oh, it sounds.
What?
Yeah.
You know, it sounds a little like Motion City Soundtrack.
I love Motion City Soundtrack. They're so good. They got specific lyrics. Sometimes they get too specific for me. Like, the thing is, I love specific.
Let's get f***ed up and die.
I love that. That's awesome. That's so cool. Like, they have so many lines like that that I really love. But then when they start talking about, like, other things, I'm kind of like, a little too specific. Like, that time you cried and threw your crayons across the floor. I was like, But, like, but they're, like, 90% of the time I'm like, I love this so much. They're great. Also, their keyboards are one thing that, like, made me really into keyboards back in, like, 8th or 9th grade or whatever. Because I heard Everything's All Right on Fuse. And then I went back and I heard Don't Call It a Comeback because I got their DVD, like, their live DVD thing. And that keyboard line was like the I was just like, oh, shit. So I got a keyboard at a garage sale and I was like trying to play. It was tough.
But your keyboard life changes forever.
Mm-hmm. Now I've got a few keyboards.
What is it about pop? What do you take from pop punk music and work into your own art?
The thing is, we have all the ingredients for a pop punk band, but it's the last thing I want to be.
Why?
Because I feel like pop punk hit where it was going to hit. And it's, you're not going to do better than All America Rejects, Jimmy Eat World, Good Charlotte, Green Day, Blank. Like all these people, they already did it so much better than any of these new bands can do. And it's like, I don't see a point in trying to do something that's like, that has already been perfected 20 years ago. And at the same time, it's such a limiting genre because you can only do so many things with it. And that's another reason I'm so into like,
genre blending?
Yeah. And it's like, and it's no disrespect. Like, I'm not just trying to on like pop punk stuff, but it's like, I just like so much more. You know what I mean? Like, besides that. And also, another thing that sucks is when you're put in that category, it's so hard to get out of it. And when people see you as a pop punk band, it's just associated with like being a teenager at Warped Tour or whatever. And it's like, that's just not what I want.
So, two options, obviously. Do you, well, first question before we get into that. Is the genre dead then?
No, I just don't really like what it became.
What did it become? Because I don't come across many pop punkers anymore.
Yeah, it's because they're just...
Yeah, they're not right. They're not real.
It came up again when hardcore kids decided in 2011 that pop punk was in, like, Newfound Glory and all that stuff was, like, super tight. And then they all made bands that wanted to be like that. And it kind of became this... Like, it used to be, like, a very fun thing. And now it's a very, like, mopey flannel genre. And I just don't think it's cool. And there's, like, hardcore attitudes behind it now. And it's like, dude... Like, because hardcore people, like, it's... And, like, you know, no shade. Please, you know, if you're a youth crew, don't beat me up or whatever. But it's just, like, if it's supposed to be something that's fun, when you put on these, like, superiority attitudes, like, when you put those with it, and, like, you know, you're just, like, doing angry, sad shit all the time, it's kind of just, like, there's just no appeal to me.
So why not redefine the genre as opposed to staying away from it?
I mean, like I said, there's just so many other things that I'd rather be doing that I think are more interesting.
So you don't limit yourself when it comes to creating any music. So you don't limit yourself in terms of thinking about genre or anything like that. So
I'm so sorry.
Nothing's off limits then.
Right.
That's pretty great.
Well, that's the thing. It's like with War Crimes, I was like, I had the ideas for like some keyboards and bass and stuff. And I was like, this song would be so sick if it was like the White Stripes and like Gorillaz and all this stuff. But then I was saying some like crazy real it. You know what I mean? And it's like if you allow yourself to be put in this like pop punk like sand pit, you're never gonna get out of it. And you like, and when you do things like that, it's so unexpected or it's not what people are looking for from you, and it limits you. And so I just wanted to try and establish as early on as possible, like, that's not what I want to be.
So what is the one constant that you know you'll get in every Water Parks record?
I feel like I can only give you corny answers from here. Like,
that's fine.
Honesty.
Yeah.
Or like genre fluidity, or, you know what I mean? Like, like with Worst, we got like some like R&B production, or like with Felt Younger. It's just like, it's like super futuristic, but then like boy bandy stuff from like the 90s, or like I Miss Having Sex, Please Don't Want to Die Anymore. That's like a cinematic, like indie folky song, or like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like High Debt, or I mean, I'm sorry, Watch What Happens Next is like a straight rock song. Like Cherry Red, I wanted that to be like, just like the biggest stadium sounding thing ever. You know what I mean?
I hear it.
And yeah, it's like, it's.
That reminded me of Angels and Airwaves.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything they do sounds super big. Also, Tom DeLonge, if this ended up in your recommended somehow, put Tom DeLonge in the related. Maybe he'll see it. like, take me with you. I want to look at aliens, like, really bad. Really bad. But yeah, like, I want to be able to make just whatever I want. And when you have expectations or labels or whatever put on you, those are expectations or those are standards. And, you know, I'll see things that are like lists people make where it's like, these are my favorite pop punk albums. And if we like end up towards the bar, or like if they say something like, it just didn't think it was good. Or like, you know, there was this song that was just like a straight up like pop thing. I was like, what was that? I'm like, idiot. It's not a pop punk album. Yeah. Like that's like being, like I've said this before, but it's like going to an Italian restaurant and being like, this was the worst Chinese food I've ever fucking had. You know what I mean? It's like, like they get like, people are like, this is like pop punk. I'm like, it's not pop punk. It's not for you. It's not for like these like whack ass rich hardcore kids that, you know, come from all this stuff and they have like this superiority. I'm like, it's not for you. It's for people. It's for like it's for people that like want it. It's for people that like have open minds.
Open minds and looking for honesty and a deep relationship and something more out of a record and music.
Right.
But you keep a pop format. So like formatically it stays pop. So there's hooks and it's all set up that way.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like I think as long as you keep it interesting and you're saying some super real stuff, and I just like naturally, like when I write vocals and stuff, it just comes out so poppy. Like I love pop music. Like Kesha is one of my favorites ever. I heard y'all just had her in here.
Yeah.
So cool. And so like when we do something like Turbulent, where it's like a dark breakbeat, weird experimental kind of thing, as long as we're putting like pop vocal patterns and like saying and like being honest, I think it'll work.
Yeah.
Never stop screaming. Always continue to put a scream in there.
if it calls for it. If I'm like, I feel like I need to yell this one out, it'll happen.
Perfect.
Dan loves an emotional scream.
I love a good scream.
Phantom, love a good emotional scream.
Phantom is the album. It totally deserves your ear. It really is quite a work of art, my friend.
Thank you.
How many songs on there? 16, 8, 15. 15. Mm-hmm. 15.
I could have put more, but...
15, 38 minutes. And it takes you on a journey. Listen top to bottom because it's all connected. Final thought?
I got it all out.
I'm the final thought.
Final thoughts?
Huh? Oh, no, I'm saying I'm the final thought. Okay. Like the boss level thought.
All right, let me just think of you. Water parks, everybody. Thanks for hanging out.
Good.
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast Network.